All right, that's time. Listen up right here. If you didn't all get to share, that's totally fine. But here we go. The most, we're going to go, we have four groups actually. We got one, two, three, four. We're going to go. I want your group to decide which one is the one that you're going to share, okay? So decide, once your group has it, raise your hand. All right. My team back here, make sure you're listening. Make sure you're listening. My team back here. Taylor. You're sharing?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Hey, boys right here. Boys right here. Nano? We're listening.
Okay, so none of us saw this firsthand, but we all saw online Tim Tebow. He was a football player, and then he wrote John 3:16 on his eye black during some sort of big football game.
Okay.
And basically after that game, I think it was 17 million people pulled the verse that was on his cheek.
Okay.
And then after that, it was a few games later or something, he got what was it? It was 316 rushing yards, 316 passing yards,
Okay.
The 316, whatever, that number was for the stats. He just kept appearing in all of his stats and stuff and in his career.
Okay. Okay. Very miracle. Miles, we only got time for one per group. But tell me after. Alejandro, you're sharing yours? All right. Most miracle-like thing you've ever seen.
What happened was, I had a brother. The thing is, he was disabled. He had to, get special needs. And mm-hmm. The nurse had to come in every day. He was in the hospital constantly. And then one day, the doctors told us that his heart was, about to die. And if they didn't do anything quickly about it, he would pass away. So they had to, eject him with a needle that would make him, pass away. Because he was suffering a lot. And he died. And then my mom was really heartbroken. I wasn't heartbroken at the time because I was only 3 years old when it happened. And my mom prayed to, God that, she can help her. And then on the next day, what happened was she got much better of it. She was still sad, but it's she didn't feel the pain that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it was she barely felt it. And I feel that God, he would probably helped her, maybe healed her kind of with the sad happening.
Yeah.
Without being sad.
Wow. Wow. That's a big one, Alejandro.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Thank you, Alejandro. My group back here, my group of... Four? Is this four?
12.
I know.
It was
11.
What do we got?
Oh, you're part of this group? Yeah. Wait, but you're talking to them.
We're just a really big group. It's hard to get around.
Well, I'm making you guys a new group. You four right here. For next question, though. Oh, wait. You want to share one?
No.
You can share next time. You can share one. Let's do it. Wow, okay. So we're hearing some answered prayers, some miracle answered prayers. Awesome. Your group shared already? I'm sorry, tell me after though. I still want to hear you. Group over here, share one with me. Oh, Matthias is going, all right. That's very cool. Thank you for sharing, Matthias. Thank you. All right. Hey, I gave you a few Bibles because we're going to look at a miracle of Jesus today. A miracle that's so hard to believe, more hard to believe than this Tim Tebow thing right here. Luke 7. Open to Luke 7, verses 11 through 17. This is a huge miracle Jesus does, something that's so impossible. That's crazy. Luke 7, 11 through 17. Luke 7, 7, 11. Luke 7, 11. Luke 7, 11. Maybe Nano can help you. Ask a neighbor, ask a neighbor. Or ask a neighbor in front of you. Adrian can help you. He can do that. Luke 7, 11. 17. Seven.
What section?
7:11 through 17. All right, I'm going to read this. If you're not there, it's totally okay. You can catch up after. Let me read this. Luke 7:11 through 17. Here we go. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bier stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, for Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. I have a few questions that I'm going to ask you. I'm going to give you like 2.5 minutes to discuss in your group, and then I want one spokesperson to kind of share with me what your group talked about. This is my first question, and I want you to think deep about this, okay? Not just like, okay, this is the answer, it's obvious, but think deeply about it. Why would Jesus have compassion on the widow? Why did Jesus see the widow and have compassion on her? Why do you guys think that? Go ahead and talk about that, but think deeply about it. Think of all the reasons that Jesus might have compassion on her. Go ahead. Thanks, Eli. Almost. Keep thinking though. Keep thinking. Maybe if you keep thinking.
Now's not the time.
All right, 30 seconds. All right. My first group to share, they want to share with who's your spokesperson for this question? Jordan? All right, go ahead, Jordan. All right, so Jesus kind of saw some of his story in this mother and son, and kind of was like, wow, this is kind of reflective of what my life is going to be, and even greater than this. Kind of what you're saying, anyways. Cool. Alejandro, you're group spokesperson. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Because just doesn't help the nice people. It also helps like bad people, like sins people. Even though that they've done bad stuff, he still cares about them.
Yeah. Yeah, like Jesus, Jesus knew everything about this woman and the son. And we don't know anything about them. We don't know if they were good people, respected people. I mean, it seems like there was a big crowd there. We don't know if they were nice or kind, but Jesus helped them and moved towards them regardless of who they were, right? Awesome, Alejandro. Were you guys part of that group? Were you guys, does anyone else in this middle section? Was there anyone else that had any thoughts? Back there in front here?
I said because like she like stayed faithful to all that, so like God was like he had like mercy kind of get concessions because she stayed faithful.
Sure, so she
stayed away even despite like what she wanted.
Sure. So maybe he saw in her like a heart that was like faithful and persevering even in the midst of pain.
Yeah.
And had compassion on her, sure, yeah. My group over here.
He saw her struggles, he saw her inside out, and he still chose to love her. I mean, yeah, I guess that is kind of like a reflection of our lives. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's a really crazy thing about this passage. We don't know anything about the woman or the son. We just know that Jesus sees them, has compassion on the mother, and then actually moves and does this miracle where he raises this boy from the dead, this son from the dead, which is insane, which is so crazy. And I think actually part of the miracle is something that James hit on, is that Jesus saw this woman inside out. Like he saw deep down into her pain. It wasn't just a surface level of like, of course you're hurting because you lost your son, but it was everything else. Jesus saw everything that was causing this woman pain and he had compassion on her. So I'm thinking about Jesus seeing all that's causing this woman pain. And the same is true for us, that Jesus sees all that is hurting us. Jesus sees all that is causing us pain. The things that we don't say, the things that we say, he knows all those things. He sees us for all that we are. And so if we actually believe and if we know that Jesus sees us for all that we are, the good and the bad, the pain that we don't even share, the things that we don't share, the things that we do share. If Jesus sees all that and knows all of that, discuss in your groups, how do you expect Jesus to react to you, to us, if he knows and he sees all that we are? How do you expect Jesus to react? Go ahead and discuss that for 2 minutes and we'll come back. Here, you guys turn around. Who squared you with water? All right, 25 seconds, 10, 15 seconds. All right, We're starting on this side this time. Yes, my group over here. How do you expect Jesus to react if he knows all that we are, sees all that we are?
If he was like any of us, you'd clearly expect him to react to someone who'd walk away from us or condemn us, but Jesus, well knowing me, I expect him, well knowing Jesus and his character, I expect him to react with loving compassion and still having faith in you while you're about to do wrong. And even after you do wrong, you have 110% faith that you're going to do right yet, even if you don't.
Say that last part again.
Like, if you were to go do wrong and you told God, I don't want to do it again, he'd still believe in you 110% that you're not going to do it wrong again. Even though Jesus always struggles with relationships.
So you would expect Jesus to come alongside you with compassion and reassurance and love?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, sure. Yes, Alejandro, my middle group. Yeah, go ahead. Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Alejandro. Jordan?
You said that you would expect Jesus to react in our best interest, even if it doesn't exactly mean it's what we want. Like, if we're having a hard time and we go to him and we pray to him, he might not always give us the response that we're looking for. But like Taylor was saying, like, he never says no to us. He'll say yes.
Yeah. Great thoughts over here in this group. All right, I got one last question for you guys because we ran out of time. So we're going to skip a couple. I think it's true, right, that Jesus sees all that we are, and it's amazing that Jesus doesn't run away from us, but he actually moves towards us, and he desires what's good for us, and Jesus actually works towards what's good for us. And it might be answered in different ways, like this group was saying. Very true. But Jesus moves towards us. He doesn't move away from us, even in situations that seem impossible, right? Like there was a son that was dead. And like, who could imagine that someone would bring him back to life? And Jesus steps in and he revives this impossible dead situation. It's a miracle. So this last question I have for you, what ways in your own life or in the world do you see a situation or something that needs to be revived, but that seems impossible? So does that make sense? So think of your own life or think of the world and something that's wrong, something that's broken, something that you don't think Jesus, you don't think could ever be fixed. Think about that thing. And what is that thing in your life or in the world that you think is just too far gone that couldn't be fixed? And I know we say that Jesus can do anything, but what are you having a hard time believing that Jesus can actually heal or fix in your life or in the world? Okay? Talk about that for 2 minutes and then we'll answer and I'll pray.
No, that's not.
Oh. Okay, put your feet down. Well, keep your feet down. All right, keep talking, I'm watching.
Maybe
All right, come here, Nano. Nano, come here. Nano, come here. No, I just want you to stand here to get you out of the situation.
They're trying to kill me.
Well, they're not actually trying to kill you. You're probably being annoying to them, right?
No, I'm just putting my feet up and then they're... No, I'm not putting my feet up. I just putting my feet, like, in the bars.
Okay. Just sit right here. Sit right here for now, because we're almost done, okay? All right. Let's hear it. Let's hear it. From each group, I want one person to share. Maybe someone who hasn't shared yet. Maybe someone who hasn't shared yet. Yeah. All right. Let's start over here with Kayla. Oh, what else? No? David?
What?
The group says David.
I have a question.
All right, David, go ahead. All right, guys, David's going to share. Good.
Me and Caleb said, I think just our world. And like Christianity.
Yeah, Christianity in general needs to be like
a vibe. Christianity needs to be a
vibe? The religion, yeah.
The religion. Okay, yeah, okay. We can unpack that more. Yeah, Autumn? Okay. Yeah. And sometimes that's hard to figure out, like, what that actually looks like, right? Because we can't actually be present with people that we love that have passed away physically. But, and so it's hard to actually figure out what that looks like. But to trust that even God is even redeeming and reviving physical death is pretty cool. Back here, any of y'all? You all?
I said that like, especially this year, I'm kind of just lazy. Like, I need, like, my motivation to be revived. Like, especially when it comes to school.
Yeah.
And, like, work. Like, I just don't feel any motivation to do anything.
Yeah.
So, I just like that motivation to be revived.
Dude, I feel that. And it's like, how do you... Sometimes it feels impossible because, like, how do I stop? How do I stop not doing anything? How do I actually do something? And then I try, and I can't do it all the time. I feel that one. My group back here. Any of you? Yeah, Miles.
My first thought was the Jets.
The Jets? Sure. Yeah.
Because they've been in the playoffs, long playoff streak in all of sports. We just traded our two best players.
Yeah.
And I just bought Sauce Gardner jersey. Mike
Sauce Gardner.
Expensive
cool name.
Yeah,
that's an interesting one, Miles. Because it seems kind of silly, but if you love the Jets, I mean, that's painful.
And my dad bought season tickets.
And your dad bought season. So you guys have money in this thing that you're not going to get back. And I don't know if God's going to give you that money back either. So, hey guys, we're over time. So let me pray. But just as we go from here tonight, let's all just trust that God is doing something good, miraculous, even seemingly impossible in our lives and in the world. And let's look for it. Let's look for the ways that God is moving impossibly and miraculously in this world. So let me pray. God, we thank you that you are with us and that you are present and that you do miracles, even impossible things. Things that we look at, whether we look at our world or things in our lives, habits that we have that we want you to change, but we just can't imagine how or when or why not. Would you help us to trust you, to be patient and always listening to how and watching for how you are moving in our lives and in the world. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.